What is up, podheads? Back with another episode of the Podio Slay podcast. My name is Tony. I am joined in person by Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
We are in Rob's basement.
Sure are.
And the one and only Spose.
What a scenario.
Yeah, buddy.
This is real.
It is.
I'm glad we're all in person.
It is different in person. Like, online's fun, yeah. But in person, it's more conversational.
And you and I talk like on social media here and there, but we just realized we haven't seen each other in person since the Jimmy Eat World Third Eye Blind Thompson's Point show, which was when?
It was
a long time
ago. It was a few days before I went on tour,
July 2019.
Dude, I haven't seen you since COVID.
Holy crap. You look great. I'm glad we're still here.
You look the same. You don't even look any different.
Good. Yeah, and it is very appropriate for the Patio Slave podcast that we would have seen each other at Jimmy World Third Eye Blind.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that fits right in. Yeah.
Which rock.
Great show. I think all of us were there because you went, right?
I couldn't go. I had a wedding, but I could hear it from my house in Scarborough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Field trip.
Yeah.
Did you call the police?
No. I went down to the
edge
of my neighborhood.
I'm so sick of this noise.
It started late because of a thunderstorm.
Oh, that's right. But then it was a really cool like sky.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. I actually think the photo from that evening is our backdrop on Twitter, or X, whatever the fuck the website is.
Go check it. Confirm it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
Follow us at Patio Slave.
What are we talking about today? What's going on?
We got a few things. I mean, we have Spose and Rob. Rob's back on the radio here in Southern Maine.
Let's go.
Spose has a new album out in February, so a little bit over a month from now.
Yeah.
And, and then we're going to do Perfect Songs again, because last time we did Perfect Songs with Rob, suppose you were trying to guess it and sending him videos, and it was a good time.
I forgot that you almost teased the perfect song, the format. You almost teased the perfect song and get him to guess before you drop it.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
And that's what we're doing tonight.
All right, let's go.
We'll drop some freestyle clues
into this. Yeah, yeah. I've got some ideas.
Nice. Good.
This is round three, right? We did the first one with... Wait, you've been part of all of them.
I've been here for the last two.
So you have to go... Like, we're in round 10. You have to still be there.
Yeah.
Now, I love hanging out with you guys,
especially
in person.
Round three, we did it episode 96, and then again, 132, which was the summertime, in person.
Hey, go fact check that, because I don't believe him.
Those of you who might be listening for the first time or whatever, Rain Man over here, a.k.a. Tony, will tell you the episode and the date, and what time we recorded the episode, and what day of the week it was.
Pretty much, it's
pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But, it's kind of the same skill set that allows you to remember the entire 1990s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and some of the those 80s songs that you love.
Probably the same skill set allows me to remember top five at fives when you and me used to do challenges.
We would do the top five at five challenges. Those are on YouTube, by the way.
Nice.
If you want to just Google or just YouTube WCYY Spose, those will come up.
Rob used to pull out the book, binder.
Yes.
The binder, and he'd have me guess songs of the top five at five, or maybe vice versa, but it was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Nice.
Let me ask you this, a little behind the scenes. Could you flood the votes and get in there? Like, if we conspired and had a bunch of our friends flood the voting, could we get in the top five?
Do you want to really know behind the scenes?
Maybe plead the fifth on that one. Yeah, don't answer that.
I'm pretty sure a lot of them are just made up.
Yeah. Well,
at a certain point, I think in the OG
you know
days,
I'm back on the radio now.
Yeah, right.
Okay, radio's
cut
fake.
That shit.
It's all corporate.
Yeah. It was just
you heard it here first.
It was a what do they call it? A benchmark, right? To get you back to hey, listen to 5 o'clock. Rob's gonna count down the top songs of the day.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what a benchmark is. Absolutely. But yeah, no, I'm back on the radio. I've been doing it for like a couple of months now. I didn't see it coming. It's weird, and I kind of fought it at first, not because
you
didn't want to do it, but I'm a real estate agent. For those of you who might not know that's my full-time job. But I wasn't able to find, I missed radio, but I wasn't able to find a way to do it where it wasn't going to affect my main job.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe from the radio station was like, well, you know, you want to do mornings? And I was like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then we talked about it and it worked out. So I'm doing weekday mornings, and then I'm helping people buy and sell houses after that.
Yeah. So 94.3 WCYY, you can listen to it online if you aren't from Southern Maine. But if you're here in Southern Maine listening, he's on the
mornings. CYY app too.
I got the CYY tattoo.
Ooh.
On my leg.
I am CYY, baby.
Literally do.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Hang on. This is going to get a little provocative.
Oh, boy.
Do you really?
I don't know if I can pull my...
It is an audio medium, but
what? How did I not even know this? All right, we're getting a picture of that. That's
subscribe
gonna go,
to the
that's
Patreon
gonna have
to see that.
I'll send one with shorts on.
Nice.
But you know what's funny? I was going to get a bull moose tattoo that same day, because those are like two institutions of my childhood upbringing in Southern Maine and very important to my music history. But it was the day that Bull Moose got in trouble for firing their whole staff in Salem. And I was like, I'm going to wait on the Bull Moose tat.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But long live CYY. And I'm glad you're back on it. It's the only reason I like tune in.
I love that.
Thanks, Rob, are you going to show your strange Maine tattoo?
That's for another time.
He's good.
This isn't a G-rated show, but for another time. It wouldn't fit.
Let's hear about your new album.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, wow. You know, I meant to bring you guys the beer that I made with Bissell Brothers to go with this new album, but we drank them all at the studio session I was at earlier.
And we drank it all, volume one.
And so my new album, I will say, I just had a really like, you know, I don't know if you guys know much about tarot cards, but there's like a tarot card that's the tower. It's like the tower event, the like life-changing event that your whole, you know, I can swear on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, go for
your
it.
Whole
go
shit
whatever the fuck
just,
you want.
Yeah, your whole shit just crumbles and you rebuild. And so like that's gone on in my life. And I kind of made an album in real time as I was like going through it. And it is very well. And also I'm a little meta aware of the reality that the enduring music and art in general that really resonates with people and really stands the test of time is brutally honest, pain driven.
That is true.
Music.
Very true.
And so as I experienced this, I, you know, in the ups and down of the emotions and even the vulnerability that I've never really put on record, I've never even talked about a relationship on a record, really.
Because
ever.
You're always talking crazy. About fun, funny stuff.
Right.
Like,
right. Fun or even just like societal issues
right.
or
motivational, all that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Like I'm feeling like, you know, the King of Maine or like you could feel good. Even though you're driving in a shitty car or like, what, you know, motivational stuff or I'm grateful for the things I have. And so this is a territory I've never been in before. And additionally, I'm, you know, as someone put it to me recently, they're like, you're at like your 10,000 hours plus era where like even the show I did the other night, it's like, oh, I'm so experienced now that I can not only do all the things, but go above and beyond and kind of and I'm not running out of breath and I'm not yelling and I'm not. I'm sweating at the end of the show because I'm ready for this. You know, I'm built for this now. And so musically, I am so free. You know, I'm so free. And so the album is like adventurous, you know, but it's also the truest, the closest. I feel like I've got closer and closer and closer to the real me, 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old me at, over the years, which is an unlearning process, I feel like, of art mm-hmm. that I have gone through. Definitely the pandemic, I think, really was the beginning of that. But then, you know, tower event in my life, which you can pretty much figure out on the album, really, you know, it brings out all the highs and the lows and the darkest sounding music and the most uplifting sounding music and like all of it. So I'm intrigued to see what the response to this is. But I'm not attached to the outcome so much as I am proud of the thing I made and it was therapeutic to make it.
Hell yeah.
It's safe to say your most personal record you've made?
Times 50.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to checking it out. And you said February?
February 15th, right?
Yeah. I didn't want to do Valentine's Day. It felt too on the nose. It was like, I was like, do I do this?
Don't you have to drop a record on Friday? Isn't that what everybody does?
You don't have to.
No, to okay. be honest.
I'm honestly out of the loop
well,
with this.
To be honest, this is my thought process on it. Because
used to be Tuesdays. Now it's Fridays.
It used to be Tuesdays. Now it's Fridays. But those are arbitrary made up things.
Okay.
Totally.
And so it's almost more advantageous if you're not Nicki Minaj or
Tay Tay.
Taylor.
Yeah, Tay Tay to drop on Wednesday
mm-hmm.
or Thursday or whatever because
on a day. You
on
get to a, own
on a
day.
Weekday, essentially on a weekday. On a weekend, the world's distracted, but on a weekday, you could turn a weekday into a strong day.
Hey-ho. Wow.
Sorry.
Didn't see that coming, but
yeah,
I like it.
I didn't either. It just like came to me. But yeah, you'll hear the album, but I kind of have like a red, pink, kind of dark Valentine's Day vibe to the whole thing. And it's like, I'm excited for the rollout and the songs.
Yep. Yeah. When's the first song?
So I haven't decided yet, but I do have them. And I was thinking the first week of January, but I just hate doing songs on like, holidays, so it was like I was gonna say January 1st, but like January 1st, everybody's distracted, doesn't matter, you know. But definitely gonna roll out probably four or five songs ahead of the record.
So this is coming out, I think, January 8th. So there may be a song or two out
there.
There
may be a song out. Yeah, go check.
Go check it out.
I would say there will be, yeah.
So before we jump in to the perfect song here, and I
just one,
the perfect songs.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And this is dumb of me because I'm in radio and I know not to do this. this is just a bad practice for radio or for, you know, audio listening. I did get you a Christmas gift. If you'd like to open that up.
Wow.
Is that what this is? Right?
Yeah. It's just visualize.
And I didn't get one for you, Tuan, or for you, Spose.
Okay.
So I'm so sorry.
Got a blue background decorative Frosty the Snowman wrapping paper.
So Tony,
you
don't have anything on your door of your apartment. You know, like a welcome mat or a welcome sign.
You're right.
So I thought that this might be something that you might want to put on your door.
He's opening it.
Just to make people feel like they're welcome when they come to visit you. If you want to, you might need to take it out of the package.
Is it Lionel Richie?
And is that a welcome mat?
Well, no, it's
hanging on the door.
It's a sign that goes in the door, and it's Lionel Richie,
and
it
says hello.
It says hello.
That's a perfect song.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. That may make an appearance behind me in the podcast setup too. So you may just see it there.
Perfect.
You never know.
Perfect.
That's money.
And it'll hit the socials.
What a sweet gift.
That's I'm excited for that. Thank you.
And you gifted me a rum and coke.
I did.
So
I tried to offer you a truly, but
I manned
like,
out
of bro.
It. No, I'm too tough.
It's not summertime. That's a summertime drink.
I'm really a weak bitch. I should have just taken one.
Delicious.
Well, Rob, thank you. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
And it will
we'll see how long the wife lets that stay up in the door, but
she's pretty cool about that stuff.
She's pro Richie?
Yeah, no, a buddy of mine years ago got me a the competitive eater, Eric Badlands Booker. He signed a photo and wrote "Stay hungry and focused." I hung it in the kitchen, and it's still there. So
she probably hasn't seen it yet.
No, she's seen it.
She hasn't noticed it. It's been up there for 10 years. She hasn't seen it.
It's been up there for probably 6 or 7 years now, and I feel like the place to put "Stay hungry and focused" is in the kitchen. Right? Makes
sense.
There
you go.
So yeah, no, she's cool about that stuff.
All right, who's going first tonight?
Perfect songs.
Ooh, I think you go first. You're hosting.
I'm going hosting?
Yeah.
You're hosting?
I didn't know you were hosting.
I'm hosting tonight.
I felt the vibe that you were the dominant force, but I didn't know you were hosting.
We could go many places with that.
Yeah.
We're going to jump onto the perfect song. All right. I'm going to go, just to keep this easier for myself, I decided to do one from every decade, because you know how I get with these things. I'm like, just in case there's never another perfect song episode,
right.
I'm going to do one from every decade. So I'm going to start with not every decade, obviously. I'm going to do one from 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
1901.
Yeah. Can't go back that far, unfortunately. But I'm going to go. It's funny because we're on our Instagram thread that we all had. There was some jokes thrown around. Pointed in my direction.
By me.
By you.
One Direction. It's One Direction.
Yes. Right.
I couldn't name a One Direction song.
Me either.
Allegedly.
Baby, you light up my world. I'm ready to. I know that one. It's a great song.
That's
one of my choices.
That is a great song.
Harry Styles has some bangers. I mean, come on.
Agreed.
No, this is, you know, I dubbed this band as one of my all time favorite bands. I've seen them live a bunch. I love seeing them live. They fire me up when I see them live. I've been listening to them since I was, 10 years old, since 87.
Def Leppard.
Anyways, Tuan. you got the band.
Ooh,
Dick.
Wow. I say Def Leppard in the chat? What did I say? I was like, well, Rob's gonna pick a Def Leppard song.
And you were right.
Wow.
And you were probably joking.
I was not.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. All right.
Clearly.
All right.
Well, I mean, all jokes have some truth in them.
Right.
So here we are.
So no, I am. I, you know what? Whatever. I guilty pleasure. I don't even know if you can call them a guilty pleasure. I don't know. But
I
just love Def Leppard. They're one of my favorite bands. And obviously, you know, the obvious pick is, you know, would be Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Sure.
Great song. It is the perfect song. I'm personally sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to pick a song.
Nights at the strip club, right?
Yeah.
Right. Right. I had to pick a song that I still love to rock out to. And I had to go with Photograph.
Photograph is the perfect song.
I'm so glad you picked Photograph, because I think I know 2 Def Leppard songs.
And that's one of them?
That's one of them. So.
No, you know more than 2 Def Leppard songs.
Probably
out of luck, out of love.
What's that?
Out of luck, out of love.
Yes.
I'm out of luck. Right, Photograph is a perfect song.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
So what makes a perfect song for you? Because we haven't talked criteria. I want to hear your criteria for this song.
Yeah, so I think I mentioned this in a previous episode. I gotta feel the song. I gotta feel it. You know, it's a song that's got the music, it's got the lyrics, it's got the harmony, the total chorus, the whole thing, and just from the beginning to that guitar pluck, the beginning, ding,
so good.
Can we do that? Can we like
unless you're too close,
it'll recognize it. Too bright.
if you nailed it,
if you AI'd me right now, we would get sued. Right?
YouTube will not like that.
But no, it's just it's just one of those songs, man. It's timeless. It's one of those songs that I've heard maybe close to I wouldn't say as many times as Pour Some Sugar on Me, because you anywhere you go, you hear that song. But it's one of those songs that I've heard so many times, but I'd never get sick of.
Yeah.
And I just crank it up every time I hear it. I love it. So
the harmonies
song.
Are untouchable.
Untouchable.
And thank you.
So what comes to mind for me is that photo, specifically the word photograph, mm-hmm. with the harmonies. Yeah.
And I guess there's like hundreds of layers. Like I remember reading, I think it was an interview with Mutt Lange, and he's like, yeah, we layered Joe's vocals like 100 times. It was like 100 tracks
about
or
right.
something. And it's like, you hear it and you're like, sounds like a lot. I don't know about 100, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's definitely more than just one. And it's awesome. I mean, that song is timeless, and it's still a banger today. And I will, anytime it's on, you roll the windows down, you crank the stereo, and you just roll.
It's just one of those songs. So,
I agree.
I have no personal attachment to it, so I can't offer any like sort. I know it, and I am not a Def Leppard fan, so maybe that is proof of it.
You know what you and I are doing?
Greatness.
We're gonna go see Def Leppard together sometime.
Bring me, man. I'm ready. I'm willing to be.
You'd like that.
I saw they're playing Fenway Park with Journey or something.
Yes, with Journey, and there's a few other bands that are off and on the tour, like Heart is part of it, right. And Cheap Trick is part of it, and I'm forgetting one other band, but we're gonna go see Def Leppard
in July,
and you're gonna talk, and we're gonna be walking out of the venue, and you're gonna be like, dude. Dude, how have I never like listened to this band before? How have
I
never
I'm
gotten into
to be.
They had so many great songs. Like,
that's
and
a good
they're
impression.
So good.
That's a good impression.
Okay. You sound just like him.
I'm willing. That is what I sound like.
As long as you pay for it.
I mean, you've got connections again.
Dude, I will buy you so many $27 Trulies.
While we're
at Fenway.
Fenway Park, baby. Someone's going to pay for that third baseman.
The only show I've seen at Fenway, which is great for this podcast, was the Green Day Weezer Fall Out Boy tour, which Fall Out Boy had COVID. And so
last summer, right?
Weezer is like 3 summers ago.
Oh, was it
four
that long
summers ago?
Ago
maybe. And Weezer did was it Sugar I'm Going Down or what was that song called? The
Sugar We're Going Down.
Yeah.
Rivers covered that, like just him and guitar in shout out to Fall Out Boy, and it was awesome. It was great.
That's cool.
I was on edibles. I don't remember much else.
That's quite the bill. Those three bands.
Green Day had cannons and pyro and like it was corporate punk rock, but it was great.
It's still fun to see 2.5 hour Green Day show,
right? Yeah, it's so fun.
It might not long because there were so many bands, but yeah, normally when they play it's a nice long show.
We'll see how Def Leppard stacks up.
Def Leppard in 2023 or Def Leppard in 1987, different thing.
87,
you know?
I'd love to see
Joe Elliott. I love you, man. If you're listening, you're probably not.
No,
he's one of the ones that he just Bon Jovi, another one. You know, you can't sing as good as you can, but you still friggin' put on a great show, and it works. It still works.
What would we say? Not studio magic, live show magic.
Little
magic going on.
A little live show magic.
Yeah. Rob, remember when we saw Joe Elliott backstage at U2?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do.
I brought that up on the podcast before, but Rob got us tickets to U2 in Boston probably about 10 years ago now.
Back when I was cool.
Yeah, back when when radio was cool,
damn.
Too. I'm kidding. But
it was never cool. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it was.
Joking, it was always cool.
At one time.
I thought it was very cool.
I did too. That's the reason we became friends. So, yeah.
It's funny because, you know what? I actually think I remember when I first met you, you kind of fanboyed me a little bit.
I am a radio fan. I literally have a WCYY tattoo.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm a big radio.
That checks out.
I'm a fanboy of you, of everyone who ever worked at WCYY.
I did that to you too when we first met. You would talk to Melissa Oftemar of Smashing Pumpkins at the time.
Is that when we first met?
Yeah, we were at Nate's apartment in Portland about 20 years ago. And I was like, yeah, I listened to your interview today. Like, I'm a huge fan. And you were like, oh, nice. Thanks, man. I was like, he just blew me off. I'm never going to be friends with this guy.
That's great.
You interviewed her when they were doing the in-store at Bull Moose in the old port.
I actually ended up going out to dinner with her that night. She was super cool. All right, let's move on. Way too much time on Def Leppard Photograph.
Bozo.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so this is my first Perfect Songs, and I've looked at the list of all the Perfect Songs you guys have chosen, and I made a whole bunch of, I've been thinking about this all week, and one song jumped out to me immediately, right away, as like a perfect song, and almost serendipitously, I was thinking, is it just a perfect song to me? Is it just I'm connected to this song, and it was an age I was at, I was probably 11 years old. And actually, I'll be honest with you, it's very hard for me to not pick songs from the 90s for this.
Yeah.
Like almost impossible. Yeah. In fact, in my whole list, it was like almost all songs from this like 3-year span, maybe because it's just my formative age or whatever. But this song by a band of the WCYY world, every time this song starts, it's like the whole mood changes. It is a like
Bulls on Parade.
It is Bulls on Parade.
No way.
It is 100% Bulls on Parade.
How did you know?
I just knew.
I mean, hits like a ton of bricks, this song.
Oh,
when a snare hits. I mean, every part of it, the riff, the bow wow, which is like ticking time bomb, waiting for the bomb to go off, and then the come with it now drops, and it's even higher now, and the song goes until literally the very end of the song like this.
Straight up.
Great call.
Straight up.
Bulls on Parade is the perfect song.
It's the and it's so unorthodox.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I mean, it's basically a 16-bar guitar riff to start the song before Zach comes in rapping. Just even that it's the verses are rapping. So obviously this song means a lot to me. And then, I mean, we can't forget that just when you think it can't get any crazier, Tom Morello drops one of the most innovative, crazy guitar solos in the history of guitar.
Yep.
On this song.
He does.
That everyone can sing the words to a turntable guitar solo.
That's the song with the guitar, the keys just gets higher and higher and higher.
He's doing the thing with the switch on the guitar sliding the pick at the same time. I mean, it's revolutionary.
Yep.
You know, not to mention it just bangs.
Totally.
And so this song just hits like it's like driving through a brick wall with a pick with a 18 wheeler. This song is not this doesn't just do this to us because of nostalgia. There is a trend on TikTok, if you've ever seen this, of essentially black people reacting to hearing Bulls on Parade. And they react to the whole song.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like I watched maybe a 25-minute compilation of people reacting to hearing Bulls on Parade for the first time.
It's amazing.
You
stuck through it for 25 minutes. Now I want to see
it. It's good.
Yes. I mean, it's all these different, they're like, hold up. And they like stop the song and they go, he's rapping.
Yep.
It's like, this is not metal. They're like, this is not metal. I thought this was like metal. They're like, he's rapping. And then they get to by the first chorus, everyone's headbanging. You've never heard the song before in your life. And then the guitar solo blows everyone's mind and the lyrics start to like catch on and they're like, wait, this guy really means this. And if you've ever seen Rage Against the Machine live, which I talked about on your podcast,
you did.
The look in his eyes changes, almost like made it more valuable to me because he's not joking. Not that you ever thought he was.
No.
But like he's dead serious, like screaming from the pits of hell, these lyrics. And so Bulls on Parade, perfect song. That's my choice.
Hell yeah.
Well, the end is crazy. Like, it's just so hard. And I don't know what makes it, I think it's the snare and honestly the bass when it hits. And what like top 40 song comes in like that? It's always a slow build.
Yeah. No,
and this is like
snare
boom,
hit.
Boom, boom, boom,
bang.
And it's so simple. It's like binary. It's like, like it's like a metal breakdown, basically.
The song is the same at the end, but it's on steroids.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Agreed.
It's the same thing. I think
if that makes sense. Yeah.
Maybe the only difference between the beginning and the end of the song, because that riff is the same at the beginning and the end, is the intensity that they've just made it through this song.
Right.
That now we're playing it this hard. And maybe there's a cymbal, like instead of a hi-hat or something.
Oh,
but
yeah,
or maybe it's a cymbal at the beginning, but like it is brutality. It is pure brutality in a radio friendly way.
Yeah.
Like this is like, because there are hardcore and metal bands who get away with this type of riffage, but like to have it be like a smash single.
Yeah, it was huge.
Defies.
That was really,
everything.
Really heavy for that time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On the radio. Because I mean, you had, you know, that was what, 96?
96.
When that came out. So you had, So, Kurt Cobain had died, obviously, at that point. But, what was big in 90?
You know, it's like Oasis.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Pumpkins, yeah.
Green Day,
pumpkins,
glycerine. And,
yeah, exactly. Bush.
You know,
so yeah. That was one of the real like heavy songs. That
spider
was,
webs.
Yes, you know, like, no doubt.
Spider webs is the perfect song.
It is a spider webs. I almost
great
spider
song.
Webs is yeah. The perfect song.
I wrote spider webs down the other day.
Spider webs is the perfect. It's probably my favorite No Doubt song.
Same.
Yep.
I would agree with that. Great fucking song.
Real quick before we jump on, I'm willing to throw myself under the bus here because this is actually going to be a funny moment. It was not a funny moment at the time, but when I interviewed Tom Morello.
Wow.
Ooh, flex.
When they came here, Tony, what was the date? Because it was right around this time.
He was here with Audio Slave.
Yeah, it was with Audio Slave.
November of 06, maybe.
Okay.
I was probably 6 or 7 years into working at CYY, interviewed who knows how many bands. I was nervous.
Oh,
dude, I'm interviewing Tom Morello. I'm nervous.
Yeah, I would be.
And the interview went fucking amazing until the last 10 seconds.
When I called Nate and he answered. He was there.
I do remember that part, but do you remember what I said?
No.
I call him a different name or something?
The interview went amazing. At end,
you didn't say Audio Slave.
I wrapped it up. I'm like, Tom Morello, Rage Against the Machine.
Ooh.
Thank you so much. He's like, yeah, man, I'm also in a band called Audio Slave.
Oh, no. He's
dude, it was a perfect interview, and I blew it at the end.
Damn.
I blew it.
I will be searching for that clip later.
Yeah. So that is
I have
not
it.
The perfect
you weren't
interview.
Wrong.
We'll Tom see. Morello from Rage Against the Machine. Thank you so much, man. Such a pleasure.
I'm also from Audio Slave, not just Rage Against the Machine.
Did I just say Rage Against the Machine?
See, I told you we were both nervous.
But you know what?
It's like a first date. It's awkward. And he's pawing me.
I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that I'm slightly starstruck.
It's all right, but I'm very proud of the Rage Against the Machine heritage. But I also play in a little band called Audio Slave. Are playing tonight, so come on down to the Rock and Roll.
Audio
show.
Who?
He just wanted audio. He was there to promote Audio Slave.
Yeah,
which absolutely. Was a good show. That was a good
and
show.
And Rage
too.
Rage hadn't played in quite some time, but they had never officially broken up. You
okay,
know,
yeah.
But that's not what he was
Damn.
There for. Yeah. So yeah,
well,
you know what?
Song.
We can dig that clip up, and you can.
I can splice that in. Yeah,
yeah
absolutely.
In.
We got some time.
I'm okay. I'm here for it.
That's rough.
Juan, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to hit you. I picked ones that I think we all know for sure, which always makes it more fun. This is from 2007. It definitely hit like CYY. I think it has like a Seven Nation Army level bass line. It goes bum, 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 bum. And it repeats the whole song.
The electric feel.
Electric
Great
motherfucking
song.
Feel.
Wow.
Man. MGMT.
Yeah, you're right.
That,
that's a perfect song.
It's perfect.
How did you know that?
Well, the little baseline.
We had a little something going on here.
I knew exactly what he meant. And also, there's videos of people reacting to Electric Feel on TikTok that are they're just blown away. They're like, what is that? They're in the jungle. Like,
that song is so smooth, though.
It's perfect.
It's falsetto, the bass line. At the end of the verse, before the chorus, they just, it's a total power move. They let the kick drum go boom, boom, boom.
Say, ooh, girl.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
you want to hear something song. Embarrassing?
It's about sex, right? I mean, that's
gotta
the
be.
Electric feel.
Gotta
I
be.
Did read that. And I always kind of assume that.
Ooh,
makes
girl.
Sense.
The electric
CYY
sensation.
Shot me like an electric eel.
Yeah, there you go.
CYY never played Electric Feel.
I was just going to say. I was going to say this. That, and this is prevalent, I've noticed. It's like revisionist history. Because there'll be songs that we play now. That we did not play back then.
That's
it was
crazy.
Kids. It was kids.
That's
and
right.
And Electric Feel
was
not was a
big.
Huge alternative hit. I was gunning for that. There were politics, corporate, blah,
Always.
Blah, blah going on at the time. I was gunning for that song. I remember that. But I also remember it wasn't like a super big charting hit, but it turned out to be.
It was the people's champ.
Right. It was one of those songs.
Yeah. And it's. I don't think it's quite a billion streams on YouTube, on Spotify, but I think it's like 700,000.
Oh,
like
I'm sure it is.
It's
I'm sure it
next
is.
Next level.
But yeah, and looking back on that, the fact that we never played that on CYY is like mind-boggling to
you
me.
You probably played Kids?
Kids.
We
there was
kids.
One
kids.
Other hit.
Kids.
There was one other song,
Time
too.
To Pretend was the lead
Time
single.
Time to Pretend was
yeah.
big, yeah.
But you know what's funny? As soon as you said 2007, I was like, this is the dark ages.
It was
a dark.
Dark
era. Like,
I agree.
You know, honestly, man, I was like, there's can't be that many songs because it was like right. a dark that whole 2006 to 2012 is like the dark ages of modern music in my opinion. It's just like not as much to latch onto.
The internet really fucked things
well,
up in that
Breaking
time
Benjamin and 3 Days Grace,
the death of
going
cool CYY. Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah.
pretty much
point proven.
It was cock rock,
yeah,
and
right.
But and even rap music was in like almost a doldrums there, whereas mm-hmm. like the 50 Cent Eminem thing had ended. It was really Lil Wayne, but he didn't really break through to like Kanye. 2009.
And Kanye.
And yeah. It was Kanye. It was really That's Kanye right. in that era, but he was in his 808s and Heartbreak era, mm-hmm. so it's like the yeah. least popular Kanye album of
Do
all
Do you still
all.
Love that fucking crazy nut job?
Well, that's a funny musically. Way to phrase it.
Musically.
I actually discussed this on the radio this morning on the on your rival morning show, Hot Radio, on Hot Radio oh, Maine, where oh, I do Friday mornings.
Beef.
And he always ends up in the dirty on the 30, which I've noticed the Q has stolen, by the way. Anyways.
Well, Chrissy used to be on Hot, beef. So she yeah. maybe she has partial rights to that. Who knows?
She wishes. shout out, Chrissy. But I find myself weaving in and out of the Kanye battle as I see fit. I pick and choose my battles.
Same.
Yeah, I pick and choose. I really was hoping for a redemption arc because this is not the first time he's really
I'm not sure it's going to happen, man.
Pissed off every single person on Earth.
I just feel like it's happening more often now.
It is. Well, there's less redeeming moments too because, you know, his last big, like, public exile was followed by A Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and Watch the mm-hmm. Throne and his
Untouchable.
My favorite Kanye album, Yeezus, you know, which mm-hmm. is where he'd earned back all the goodwill. And now he's like, fuck you guys, I'm going left field. And so I was hoping this like record he's about to drop would be this redemption thing from all basically being canceled for hating Jews.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's that album. Having heard a bunch of clips of it, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah. Maybe the next one.
Maybe in the next one. Yeah. I'm holding out hope.
And before all of that craziness happened, we did rank every album he'd ever did with you. Suppose.
What episode was it?
82 and 83.
Oh, that's two episode double. Span.
We
it's
did.
Like,
yeah.
Isn't it kind of weird? It's awesome, but it's kind of
no,
weird,
I
isn't
like it?
It?
I like
no,
it.
No, it's weird. Little Rain Man.
Yeah,
I would agree.
I mean, he's got to be the guy.
Right, before we let Rain Man go, is Electric Feel a perfect song?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, 100%.
Good.
It's
good,
the
good,
best
good.
MGMT
Unanimous.
Song.
Unanimous.
It's almost cooler that it wasn't a single or a hit.
Yeah. I like that.
People have latched onto it.
But I do remember MGMT as being one of those bands that came to the State Theater.
I went with you.
And did not play Kids.
Nope.
No.
They were that
That's
band.
That's
they were Radiohead creeping that night. They didn't play Kids, and the song was like,
I love
it. It was not even a year old yet, you know? And
but they did play Electric Feel.
They absolutely did.
And we were like, all right, this is fine. And the place was vibing to it. Like, people were into it because that is the better song.
I was like, guys, you guys put on a great show, but you're not Radiohead.
Yeah, right.
You can't skip out on your huge
hit. I never
loved
that song, I'll say, Kids.
No.
Really?
No, I didn't. It didn't. I couldn't even believe it was the single because, like, that album was, that, like, EP or album or whatever was popular.
Was it
Miraculous Spectacular?
Miraculous Spectacular, yeah.
My question is, at what point did Radiohead stop playing Creep?
Pretty early, actually. I think it was probably, like, late 90s, I want to say.
Wow.
Like,
I don't think they were still playing it when they were on the Paranoid Android tour.
Yeah.
Or the OK Computer tour, do you think?
I bet they were playing it then.
They may.
So? Yeah,
that's
that was
great,
the one that
that's
was.
That's actually a great question.
We could set list FM it right now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I have a WNFNX radio rip of a show they did from like maybe 01 or 02, and they played Creep.
Whoa.
Yeah,
on the Kid A era?
Around that time.
Kid A,
and they play whatever sprinkle it in every once in a while.
Yeah.
And that was
a
big show. It was like 25 songs. Like it was the Boston area. It was, I think it's like 01 or 02. I have to find it. Really cool.
They played at Suffolk Downs.
Yeah.
Dude, I went to that with a face melter.
Oh my god, I was there.
Were
I did
you?
That with my dad.
Dude, nice. It was. I
and
remember
Adrian
that.
Alfano.
I just remember
Shout
that being
Adrian
the
Alfano.
Most beautiful night.
It was sunset. It was beautiful.
Yes.
And what was that band that opened for him?
August.
The, what?
August.
Yeah, it was probably August. It was not Block Party. It was like the Beta Band opened for Radiohead at that show, and I always wanted to be into the Beta Band after that, but couldn't be. But. I've seen Radiohead probably 7 or 8 times, and I've never heard Creep, personally. But
wow. It's a rare situation.
I didn't know this. I didn't know. I mean, having not known that, if I saw them, I'd be like, what the fuck?
So you didn't know that they didn't play Creep?
No.
It's a very rare situation.
I would not expect it at this point. Once they made OK Computer, they could do whatever they wanted.
Yeah, right.
Nobody was at the show to hear Creep at that point. I mean, casuals were, but I think people are there for the Radiohead thing.
The experience.
Well, Karma
the
Police. They went. I mean, that album's
I mean,
fucking...
people are stoked at Airbag,
yeah.
You know,
oh.
At that point. You play anything.
That's a record we should do. Deep dive on.
Okay, Computer?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I think we...
We've never done a deep dive on it.
No.
We definitely should.
I forget. I have a good memory, but not that good memory.
Tone, are you up? Is it your pick here?
All right. This is a song that came out in 2005, and it was one of the songs that Rob and I first kind of bonded over music about. And Rob, you were DJing at CJ Thirsty's on Forest Avenue in Portland, Maine at the time. And he,
that's a real place?
It was. It's not anymore.
Oh my God. The best dive bar.
Wow. Holy crap.
Dancing Dave. Was Dancing Dave there? Probably?
Oh, Dancing Dave. Shout out Dancing Dave. I missed that guy.
Yeah. So this is, yeah, around that time, 05, 06. This song, you would just play the song for us because we just roll in to hang out with you DJing. And you
would play, I play this after 10 p.m.?
Probably later in the evening, yeah. Around that time, I was 22.
Who was then crawling in the dark?
No, no. This record is celebrating 20 years this fall in 2024. It's the second single off of Jimmy Eat World's Futures. It's Work.
Oh, ooh, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I confirm.
Oh, that's such a great
song.
It's
the best Jimmy Eat World song, and they have a lot of really good songs.
That is such a great song.
That's a crazy take.
You know what that song reminds me of is the OG,
I dropped my mic, but it's brand
OG,
new.
Your OG third piece of Patio Slave.
Nate.
What did you say? I dropped
Nate and I
my
listen
mic,
to that
but it's
a lot.
Brand new.
Wow.
I just bought it.
I'm going to be honest, and you can edit this part out, but I got to go listen to this song. I listened to this album.
So good.
Oh, okay.
That guitar song is so good. That guitar riff, dude.
The hook is what?
The production is insane on that.
Mm-hmm. Along.
All I can say.
Okay.
So
yeah.
good.
Right, so I know that song. My context of that era Jimmy Eat World is it was in my like on and off girlfriend's car. Mm-hmm. And she would listen to this Futures album a lot. And so I didn't even know, to the point where I didn't even know what the songs were called. We just listened to Futures all the way through on repeat. Or Coheed and Cambria, In Keeping Secrets.
Yep.
Same time period.
Or My Chemical Romance, Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge. And so those were like, that was that era for me. But like, that's a great Jimmy Eat World song.
Great Jimmy Eat World song.
All my favorite Jimmy Eat World songs are from
Bleed American.
I mean, Bleed American is all time.
Front to back.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
That Bleed American record, front to back, every
perfect.
Single song.
Yeah.
Praise Chorus is my pick too.
Yeah, number one.
Liz Phair did backing vocals on Work, which I did not know until I looked this up. Yep.
That's cool.
They had to like grab a bunch of different people they knew in the industry to get to her, and they got to her and she was like, "Yeah, I'm down. That's awesome." And I had no idea till today.
Had no idea.
Wow. Have you guys read this book? I think it's called Sellout.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where they have a whole chapter about Jimmy Eat World.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting history. Have you read this book? You'd love it. It's the record industry pimping of pop punk.
Pretty much, yep.
You know, it's like
the story, emo.
It's a story of Green Day and Jimmy Eat World and I forget all the other bands.
Thursday, which, I mean, stay tuned next week, just saying.
Ooh, okay. And then there was some of the later bands, like Against Me was one of them, and then, but it's a cool book. Great choice. I admit it's not like one that comes to mind for me. Even if you say Jimmy Eat World, I probably pick 6, 7, 8 ahead of it, but not but definitely a great song, and they played it, and it is big time sing-along.
It's one of those songs, and I'm with you, and it is the perfect song.
It's a great song.
It really is. And it's one of those songs that's not the middle, it's not sweetness as far as what stands the test of time and what's still played on the radio, but it is such a great song.
It's so good.
Absolutely.
The moment that guitar riff kicks in, you're just like, oh, it's a warm fucking blanket. I want that all day.
And it does contain a little bit of those elements that are great about the sweetness, like the vocal pause and then the heavy hit with the band and then the vocal pause. You know, it's like that they actually do that maybe better than anybody.
So good. Yeah. So yeah, that's my first one.
All right.
Oh, it's a great one.
All right, Rob.
All right. So I'm going to move on to my 90s selection.
Ooh, all right.
I think I had like three or four songs I was choosing from the 90s that I think I went with this because you're here tonight.
Right,
and I think I wanted to hear you
I'll
chime
be
in.
Stoked
and
to
I,
hear
and,
what
yeah,
it is.
And I think you will. I'm not, truth be told, I'm not a huge hip hop fan.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Not a huge hip hop fan. I don't hate it. I love hip hop, but I want it to be good hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of today's hip hop is just not for me.
Right. A lot of it's not even for me.
I would agree with that too, actually. But
I'm not even just saying this. You're my boy. You know this. I love your shit.
Thank you,
I'm
man.
Talking about, generally speaking, today's
mumble
hip-hop.
Rap. You're
is...
saying mumble rap. You hate mumble rap.
You don't like Lil Baby. or DaBaby?
I'm not into any of DaBaby's.
Baby. Yeah. Really.
I like 90s hip hop. In 80s and 90s is like my hip hop that I'm into. And one of the perfect songs that I have, this is one of, not only do I consider, this is probably my favorite hip hop song of all time.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
And it's from 1993. It was called this a famous duet.
Oh, okay.
From an amazing album that I listened to all summer, summer of 1993, which is actually the first year I get into music.
Really?
No guesses yet?
West Coast?
You're All I Need to Get By Method Man and Mary J. Blige. Is
very
later.
Close. I wouldn't.
And so you're saying I a famous said duet.
No, it's two very famous rappers.
West Coast.
One is a producer.
Yeah, it's Dre and it's nothing but a G
Dre
thing.
And Snoop, nothing but a G thing.
Yeah.
Perfect song.
Wow. Yeah,
perfect.
You're
cool.
You're absolutely right. That song goes off to this day.
Yep. Anytime that beat kicks in, people are ready to party.
Is that
today? Oh, yeah.
Untouchable. And then you could identify the Death Row era with that.
Absolutely.
What do you even call that? What is that?
The Death Row era or the West Coast G-Funk like production style?
Yeah. Oh, it's...
Well, you know, it's actually, I just told this story on the radio this morning because we played California Love.
Nice,
and
which I can sing the entirety of.
And I was, which is another perfect song.
Perfect
but
song.
I was talking, which is a with an extended breakdown of listing every city in California. But I was telling my daughter, because my 14-year-old daughter, I like try to give her context of music. Like when we hear like a throwback jam like that, I can't help but be like, Tupac felt dangerous. I'm like, I don't know how to explain
out
this
on
to you.
Bail, that, fresh out of jail.
That's what he said.
California
out on bail, fresh
dreaming.
Out of jail, California jail. I go, he literally went and recorded like 10 songs a day. He got out of jail.
Yep.
I was like, Snoop Dogg, Martha Stewart, household name, TV commercial, Corona commercial.
Murder was the case.
On trial for murder.
Right.
I was like, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Tupac, this was danger.
Yep.
This was terrifying. This, you had to hide the CD from your mom at my age. And like, so the fact that it was so catchy and fun and accessible is what made it so compelling.
Hell
it's
yeah.
The same thing that made 50 Cent so compelling.
Absolutely.
10 years
yeah.
later.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, what a great song. And I mean, I'll never forget the video at the barbecue with
yes!
Snoop and seeing Snoop and it and the he, there, this is basically sexual assault. But there's a part in the video where this dude like pulls off the girl's bikini top. And I remember at 8 years
oh,
old being like, that's awesome. You know,
now we know it's not.
Now
but
we know that's
back
not
then,
awesome.
Back
that's
then
actually a criminal offense. But they were dangerous.
Yep.
So
yeah,
that's what was happening at their volleyball party.
And how old were you? You remember this?
I was like 8, 9,
yeah,
10.
That sounds
and it was
about
all
right.
Over MTV.
Everywhere.
I mean,
every
we're all the
day.
Same age, yeah. Three of us here. One person is not the same age. But the three of us that were, it was edgy
wait, who,
as
wait,
hell.
Who's not, who here is not the
know.
Same age?
I don't know.
Me.
Could be me.
It could be me. I don't know. But
it's
I remember supposed. Watching the
He's
music
10 years
video.
Younger than you guys.
Yeah.
And like being a suburban nerd from Southern Maine. It was like, I don't know what's going on, but I love
you gravitate
this shit.
Towards that shit. Yeah.
Whatever's happening in Compton and Long Beach, my geographical knowledge was built from like hip hop songs.
Pasadena,
like
where you at?
So true. Yeah.
For real.
So Wells, Maine wasn't working for you at the time.
No, I was rounding down to Boston. I was like, well, somebody's from Boston. Like, you know, I would round down to the coolest city. You couldn't be from, to be honest. And no, all jokes aside, that was like the turning point of my life as a wannabe rapper, you know, who like became a rapper when he heard Eminem was like, it is okay to just rap about where I'm from.
Yep.
Which was a big
like
turn.
That.
You know, it's like,
that's
oh,
true.
I didn't realize that. I thought you had to be from somewhere cooler.
Yep.
You know,
I think we all grew up that way, though. Right. I mean, it's like, oh, you're from Maine, especially as the internet kind of took off and you're telling people where you're from. You're like, yeah, no, I'm from that place that nobody knows about. And now I'm like, yeah, no, I'm fucking from here. You want to come here.
It's
this
like a pride.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, for sure. But what a great song choice. When you first started saying it, the first song that came to mind before you even told me the year that it was a duet, I thought you were going to say Juicy by Biggie.
Yeah.
Another great song.
Because that's like the all-time aspirational, you know, they used to call the cops on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter at the beginning. But just one of those songs where everybody knows it was all a dream, you know, like,
and then everyone peters off like the,
yeah,
no
gradually.
One knows.
All right. But, so would you guys agree that's a perfect song?
Perfect song.
I had to take a piss.
Great.
I just want to make sure that was a perfect song.
All right. It is.
All right. It wasn't that perfect. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's a perfect song.
I hear you, asshole.
It was a great one.
I'm more of a Detox fan personally.
Gross.
Yeah,
it never
right?
came out. He did put out an album called Compton.
Yeah, Compton.
And that, with, his flow sucked on that. What happened there?
Well,
he'd like stumble over.
Well, who was writing for him in 93, 94, and who was writing for him in 2001? Because it's Dre doesn't write his own verses. So it's like, Dre can't rap.
Yep.
Kendrick Lamar verses.
No.
Or Anderson .Paak verses. No. This is who was like writing that stuff.
One of the four that I came prepared with is Dre is involved with.
Hmm. Me too.
All right. What do you got, Spose?
Okay. As I said, it's very hard for me to get out of the 90s. And in fact, when all the songs I wrote that were outside of the 90s, either 80s or modern times, I was forcing it. So I'm sticking with the 90s here. And I really don't know exactly which one to do. All right, I'm going to stick with the theme of formative years alt-rock here.
All right.
This song is, to me, perfect. I've probably heard the... It's one of those songs I've heard so many times that you maybe wouldn't even put it on because you've heard it so many times. It's just ubiquitous. And it is a little darker than the rest of the stuff this band does. And maybe that's part of the appeal.
Can I guess it?
Yeah.
Did you run into this person in an elevator at Mohegan Sun?
No.
Okay, because I was thinking that song.
Okay.
Yeah. Which song?
Bullet.
Bullet.
Oh, but-
same.
It 100%. Would be for, yeah. Yes. I mean, I tried to come in here and not say.
We're talking
say,
about the Smashing Pumpkins.
I tried to come in here and not say any Smashing Pumpkins songs because Smashing Pumpkins are far and away my most formative band. I will say this band's probably my third favorite band. I've seen this band live so many times. I think maybe I've seen you. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure we've all seen this band before. And this song is, I want to say, the second or third single from their first album, 94. It's just an impossibly epic sing-along. And a deep, dark classic of this band's catalog.
Crash Test Dummies.
No, but not close.
Like
I'm actually drawing a blank right now.
Yeah, my thought is it a Green Day song?
No, but you're getting warmer.
Offspring?
No.
Soundgarden?
You want me to drop it?
Yeah.
It's Say It Ain't So by Weezer.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
It's Say It Ain't
So. It was the third.
So,
okay, yeah.
Fun factoid at, Bolfini's, local bar in Portland.
There's used to be there. Gone now.
Gone now. Cover band. This is like 10 years ago. Cover band. They covered Say It Ain't So. And I felt compelled on my Facebook timeline. I go, I'm putting it out there. Say It Ain't So is a top 10 song all time.
It's such and a good song.
That's really how I feel. I'm
there with you.
It's really the song that solidified that Weezer wasn't the video that came with Windows 95, and they right. weren't and
they weren't Buddy Holly.
They weren't Buddy Holly. They were more serious than that, which was solidified by Pinkerton, despite whatever would have happened for them, personally after that, but. Say It Ain't So was like, oh, this band is for real.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the minimalist video. I remember seeing the video in the summertime on MTV, Summer 95, which I think is when that video was out. But this song, I mean, and I think maybe a mark of a perfect song is when it kicks up a notch and you're deep in the song. Mm-hmm. Which
it does. Oh, yeah.
Which when that bridge hits.
Dear and Daddy, I write you.
And then into going even higher, which is...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was in a band in eighth grade, this was our first order of business was covering Say It Ain't So. That's like the level. It was like a staple. It was like learning a Beatles song, in 68 or something. So
right.
It's like.
That's right.
So that song I would put as one of the all time songs ever, and so a perfect song to me.
So 100%. I had on our previous perfect songs, I did Surf Wax America. Also perfect.
Great.
You could pick
that whole Blue album.
You pick any song off of Blue and be like, "Yeah, this is kind of perfect." Only mm-hmm. in Dreams. My name is Jonas. It doesn't end. That thing doesn't take a break. So I'm with you. Say It Ain't So, fucking perfect song.
Can I give you a little fun factoid? I've been driving with the kids a lot, driving them to and from everything, and my daughter has been DJing on her Bluetooth on her iPhone, my 14-year-old, and it was a lot of Drake. It was all. It
Can
was.
We talk
fact,
about how you have a 14-year-old now, because that,
yeah,
that's
a 14-year-old,
really freaking
yeah, I have a
me
woman,
out.
She's a woman.
That's freaking
and she,
me out.
We went to see Drake together this summer. I like Drake. I'm down
for sure.
with Drake. I can't do Drake on the way to school every day, on the way home from school every day. The whole Drake album,
bed,
back to front
mama,
to front to back.
I'm sorry.
Can't do it. Yeah, and so I started playing music from my phone when I'm like, all right, well, let's listen to some stuff. So I started doing David Bowie essentials, you know, on Apple Music. And then I was doing, you know, I was listening to the Arctic Monkeys a lot. And we were listening to, I made them listen to Turnstile, the band, a lot. And then I somehow ended up on a Weezer kick. And it was just the Weezer Essentials playlist. And they all know Buddy Holly. They love Buddy Holly. Buddy Holly's a smash. Say It Ain't So comes on. I remember my son being like, ooh, I like this one. You know, there's a positive thing. But the only songs they request by Weezer, they want to hear again, that they bring up when they want to, like, hear a song. The only songs from this playlist that stuck with them are as follows. And you would never guess these in a million years because they don't know the context of Weezer. They don't know that, like,
are they like from the later? Is it like I Want You To, Pork and Beans kind of?
Those are okay.
It's not even late.
I Want
like
You To higher than Pork and Beans.
Yeah.
It is All My Favorite Songs, which is
All
My Favorite Songs Are Slow and Sad, which they love and sing along to, big time sing along apparently, from the Okay Human album.
Yeah, which is what, a couple years ago?
When it was kind of orchestral.
Yep.
And the other song that is the go-to, always want to hear, and they all sing along and they like headbang the whole time, is Hero from Van Weezer. These are the two songs.
Van Weezer actually is a good record.
It's their generation, in a sense, if you think about it. Maybe that's what it is, you know?
It could be. I mean, maybe the production or something speaks to them more. But
yeah.
Like, they just have no context that this was good or bad.
Right.
They don't know that the sweater song is supposed to be the big
And here's the disappointed dad being like, well, at least you're listening to Weezer.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Like,
well, to be honest, those songs I'm excited.
What is this? This is Van Weezer. This should be the Blue Album. What's wrong with you?
And you probably know this as a DJ. You like to play what the audience likes. It brings you joy. So I'm like, yes, let's play all my favorite songs because they're all stuff.
I DJ weddings too. Do you think I want to play Celebration by Kool and the Gang every day?
Yes.
Or Love Shack?
You do.
No, I don't. But I want to get the party playing, and that's what they're paying me for, you know?
And so I'm the DJ in the car with the kids, and they want All My Favorite Songs by Weezer. So we drop the hits.
That's great.
You're right, Rob. At least they're listening to Weezer, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, lyrics on Say It Ain't So are underrated. Like, I don't think anyone's looked to Weezer as, like, the lyrical gods, but, like...
Usually not.
You could say, like, somebody's Heine's Crown or my Icebox in so many different ways, but the way, like, they describe it, I'm like... Wow, makes you think. Yeah.
Even that first line is like shocking. I remember even at the time as, you know, in that era, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's a crazy first line.
It's a crazy first line.
All right, Twan, what do you got?
So I get three that I can choose from. There's two hip hop ones. And maybe at the end, we'll give our alternates and just go yes or no.
Ooh,
so
I like that. Yeah,
I'll
park
those. This is one. It's a band that is massive. And you kind of either love them or hate them. And it, not in like a Creed way, but just, you know, some people are probably kind of sick of them.
Like in a Nickelback way? Okay, love them or
not
hate them.
Not that
I was thinking
extreme.
The same thing.
Rock stars? Yeah.
They came
Nickelback?
Out
the jam.
In 2000.
Look at this photograph.
They came out in 2000.
Okay, it's Linkin Park.
Not Linkin Park. The video features the singer, I think just the singer on a beach.
Oh, yeah, I know this. Coldplay.
Coldplay Yellow.
It's Coldplay Yellow.
Dude.
It's a perfect song.
I have a Coldplay song, but not that one.
Wow. You have In My Place.
It's another great song.
Coldplay Yellow, a song about unrequited love. Look at the lyrics.
Great
untouchable.
Song.
It's perfect. The way it comes in, just the guitars. Mm. Then it's just Chris. And then it's the hook that gets me. It's the chorus. Your skin and bones turn into something beautiful. Mm. I mean.
So good.
Yay, nay? What's the consensus?
Yeah. Oh, yay, 100%. This song was, it's tough to even put it into perspective for anybody who wasn't there at the time, but the hype around Coldplay, the excitement around that first Coldplay
out of nowhere,
it was gigantic. It was
the next Radiohead, you know, from the same region or whatever.
And then single, which was, it was almost like they were hinting, and that song was just incredible. And then Parachutes dropped the album, and it was like, oh yeah, they are the next
really
something.
Good.
They're huge. That album is still my favorite winter album ever.
I love
great record
that like I don't know if I would like defend them if someone was anti them, but I will defend that album and that song
exact same.
And Rush of Blood to the Head, or what is that one? That's a great album.
It's a good album, but it's not as good as Parachutes. And I know people put them both up there as these like equals, but it's Parachutes all day for me.
Early Coldplay was really good.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I say what you want about where they are today and who they are today, whatever, I'm not gonna go there. But I agree with you. Great, great fucking song. Perfect song.
I still know all the words to Roman Catholic choirs are singing.
Yeah.
You know, like late era.
Viva La Vida.
Yeah.
Viva La Vida. Yeah.
That song was huge.
It's funny. I when that song came out,
I kind of equivalate this to a band from the 80s, because I'm a huge 80s guy. You guys probably know that. A band from the 80s that I did not like at the time, that I love now. And Coldplay is one of those bands. I don't want to say I didn't like them, but Yellow, I'll be honest, when Yellow came out, I had just started at CYY. It was very, it was kind of very different from what else, all the other stuff we were playing.
It was new metal era. Yeah. It was Disturbed. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, it was, exactly. Orgy.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the 2000 Holiday Bazaar?
2000 Holiday Bazaar with Rustic Overtones.
Yep, yep.
And 60
playing with, yeah, playing with Disturbed and Orgy.
Yeah.
And the Rustic Overtones.
Yeah. I was not into Coldplay on that first record, but I think it's because I was a 22-year-old idiot or something. I don't know. But when you grow older, you grow to appreciate more music. And now, you know, probably it probably took me, you know, maybe till like 2006, 2007 before I was like, you know what? This is a good song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what my issue was with this song.
What's the 80s band you equate them to?
Oh, did I not say it?
No.
I thought I did. Oh, Depeche Mode.
Oh, interesting.
I hated Depeche Mode when I was a kid. Fucking hated them. But now I realize how amazing they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one of those things that I think you need to, like, you grow, as you grow older, you appreciate
stuff. I'm just glad you didn't say The Cure, because I might have gotten up and walked out.
Music outside of the MTV chokehold was probably tough to even find or grasp onto in that era.
When I discovered MTV, they were playing Never Let Me Down Again by Depeche Mode, which is a song from their Music for the Masses album. And every time it would come on, I'd be pissed, because I'd be like, I'm waiting for, you know, I was big into, fun fact, big into 80s hair metal at that time. Yeah,
ooh,
right.
You? Def Leppard guy?
Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Bon Jovi, Cinderella. I also love the pop stuff. I was huge into the Bangles and Madonna.
Yeah,
you know, and
Olivia Newton-John.
Olivia Newton-John was not around.
I'm kidding.
I don't think she had anything in '87.
Wasn't physical.
Are you trying to get physical with me?
I might be. Yeah.
You trying to get physical right now?
A little bit.
Hey, 2 billion streams for Yellow, and I first heard it. It was buzzworthy MTV 2.
Ooh, yeah,
back when that was a thing.
Yeah, because we're old.
Yeah.
I love when you guys shout out the MTV $2 bill.
Yeah.
Radiohead played one.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, perfect song. Perfect album. Great, great choice.
I have another Coldplay song. We'll just piggyback off of it.
Let's do
it.
Off of X and Y. I mean, Fix You. How is Fix You not perfect?
Oh, yeah. Another song that I did that I didn't appreciate at the time.
It wasn't a single, was it?
Yeah, it was.
It was a second single.
I don't know if I know this.
Do you guys...
Oh, you know Fix You.
Okay.
Did you guys ever see my... I'm obviously... Good choice.
The video with the dad and his son? Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe.
It's a sad song.
No, it's the movie where the lightning strike happens and people forget that the Beatles exists, and this dude knows all, or is the only person who knows
Across
all
the Universe?
Is it called Across the Universe? It's where the dude is the only one who remembers the Beatles. And so he's playing
the songs,
and he becomes a superstar.
That's amazing. No, I haven't seen that.
It's from maybe 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
But they're in the I've never seen the movie, but it stood up to me as a music nerd so hard because it's just an amazing premise. So he becomes like superstar stadium artist because he has Let It
Beatles
Be
songs.
And you know, like all these songs.
Hey Jude.
Yeah, but he sings. I think it's like him and an acoustic guitar sitting around an outdoor at like a restaurant, and he like plays a song, and it's like Let It Be or something. For like his friends and family and like his girlfriend, and one of them's crying and she's like, it's the best song I've ever heard. and her friend goes, it's not the best song I've ever heard. It's not Fix You by Coldplay.
No way.
Holy shit. Good.
Oh, yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so that's my frame of reference
for
Fix You.
You have a great British accent.
I'm glad we invited you
to
this.
I tried to do it
and they're like, are you doing an Australian accent?
Oh, I'm terrible at accents. It honestly
No, that
was
good though. That was really good.
It honestly was like one of the main things Christie's ever made fun of me about in my life was I always start an accent and I end like I'll start British and by like the end of the
Australian
sentence it's Jamaican. It's Russian. It's like what accent?
You're
is
throwing
that?
Mates
Where did
around.
That go?
Hey mate.
That's a couple left hand turns. No, that song is amazing. I didn't know this, but Yellow Card covered it.
Oh wow.
And I heard that today for the first time and was like, this is really cool. And that's how you know that a song slaps, is that somebody else also took
Agreed.
It and made it awesome. I'm like, okay, the song's great.
Right. That I will say that would be a cool premise for an episode, like a cover song that like reframed how you felt about the original or like made you appreciate it more.
Didn't we
You guys did that, and I suggested it. You're like, yeah, we already did that. I was like,
oh, here we go again.
I was like an episode of
episode 51.
I was like an episode of cover songs that were better than the original.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And Tony was like, yeah, we already did that.
It was the unique covers episode. I don't know the number, but it was earlier this year, earlier in 2023.
How do you not know the number? Who are you?
Where's Tony? I'm leaving the pod.
All right, so okay. we're
on the last
hour.
Round.
I would love to be a part of part two with that, by the way.
We'll bring you in.
All right. So it's me again?
Let's
rapid fire it a little bit.
We'll rapid fire it. Yeah. We'll go around again and rapid fire it.
Wait, so there's no third round?
There is. Well, let's just keep this one short, and then we'll wrap it.
Okay. Keep this one shorter. Yeah. All right.
I'm actually surprised that I haven't picked this one yet, because this is my favorite song of the 21st century, and I'm very adamant about not choosing favorite songs for the perfect song, because I want it to be the perfect song. But this is the perfect song. Favorite song that's come out since 2000.
Okay.
Debut album, second single.
The Killers.
Yeah, Mr. Brightside.
Artist title.
Boom.
Cool.
Immediately, nice. I don't Mike even, as soon as you said after 2000, I was like, what's the biggest song? It's a big time song. I thought of it.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
On it tonight.
I thought I was going to have to hype that up
These
a little
guys
bit
are
more.
On it tonight.
Chuan's been nailing them
tonight. I'm listening.
Yeah. You really
so
have.
We,
big brain.
We
big
talked
brain.
About this song with Marshall Gallagher of
Teenage Wrist.
Teenage Wrist. We have it recorded and have never let anybody hear it because I didn't want to get him into any trouble. It wasn't bad. He was great. We all had the kind of same consensus because it's big at like college football stadiums now. They'll play that and like, in between the third and the fourth quarter, and the whole place will sing it because it's a ubiquitous song, right? Everybody knows Mr. Brightside.
What was the first single? Somebody Told
Me.
Which is a banger too.
So that record's fucking amazing. That song is amazing.
And the record front to back. And what you, to your point, what you just said, I DJ weddings. I've DJ weddings for years. I'm kind of getting out of it now, but I still do it over at this amazing wedding venue in Brownfield, Maine. Shout out Stone Mountain Art Center.
Yep.
Mm.
But I started playing that song just in the past couple of years.
People are
and
into
now
it.
I'm working it into almost every single wedding that I do.
Makes sense.
And I've never ever played that song at a wedding before as a dance song, but it is a friggin' it's fire. Like, it's a banger every time. But yeah, going back to the perfect song, it's just, it's a song that I've loved since it came out. And they're one of my, I probably consider them my top three favorite bands of the 21st century.
They're a great band too. They're underrated, I think,
and,
at this point.
And that's, it's just one of those songs that's, it's absolutely, I don't even know what I can say about it. It's perfect.
It's a perfect song. No, it's a great choice.
And it's overcome being beaten down your throat.
It has.
It like, stands correct. The test of time 100%. Like, that goes off every moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. I have, fun fact, never owned or heard a whole Killers album.
Really?
Same here.
However, I do have a Killers song as one of my songs on the list that I
really?
Had. So if we're going lightning round, we just drop one.
So real quick, you need to listen to Hot Fuss and Sam's Town, first two albums.
Yep.
They're both front to back albums.
So are we lightning rounding?
Nah, give it there. We'll
just like he did, you know, keep it a few minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. All right. I have a lot of like way more cred picks than this. And I have a lot of hip hop stuff and a lot of alt rock stuff.
You know, we could do another one of these another night.
Yeah, please. But I'm going pop. And this was the same era as my other picks because that's all my favorite music is like the mid 90s. This song, every time it starts, I'm feeling it. No matter where it starts, I'm stoked and I'm happy.
Does it start
it's
with
on.
A percussion or a guitar?
Too Close by Next.
No.
Okay.
I did have No Diggity as an option.
Oh, yeah,
but
great,
not
song.
What I chose here. But it starts with essentially what is a like a vinyl stop sound. Like
Without Me, Eminem.
No.
Sublime.
Good, no. This is straight up pop music. This is Q97.9.
Okay, from 95?
96. Second single.
All right, I was still in radio. I was still working at a pop station in 96, the year I graduated from high school.
Maybe the first single from this album is an all time is maybe a perfect song and an all time maybe the biggest song by this band, this group. But this second song, Video in the Desert,
man, this is killing me.
Is an all timer. And fun fact, the original beat for I'm Awesome, my song, started with me sampling this, the drums in this,
wow.
I think. But that's not going to help you figure it out.
No, it isn't.
But this is by a girl group.
Spice Girls?
Spice Girls.
Okay.
Ooh.
And it's Say You'll Be There by the Spice Girls.
Say You'll Be There?
It's an all-time perfect song. To the You know what I was thinking makes it a perfect song? The beat's perfect. The beat's one of the all-time greatest beats of all time.
I'm giving you everything.
Absolutely.
All the joy it brings. Yes, I swear. Here's why it's one of the perfect songs. Yes, I swear. It's those... You know every
there's five of them that can do that too.
I know every
so
ad lib of this song. I know, and then it comes in with a fucking harmonica at the end. It's like it's the bridge is great, the pre-chorus is great, the chorus is great, the verses are great, the Spice Girls are great, the video's great. It's a perfect song.
We're wrapping the night up with a mind blower for me.
Yeah. Right.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree, but I did not.
No, I didn't see that coming. But
I had the CD. Yeah, I mean, we were 10, 11, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I was DJing at this nightclub when I was underage. I was allowed to DJ, and these British people were on vacation. These cute little girls come. They're like, "Do you have the Spice Girls?" And I was like, "Who the fuck are the Spice Girls?" And they're like, they looked at me kind of funny. This is no joke. They looked at me kind of funny, and they were like, "Oh my god, you need to have the Spice Girls. Your accent's
this
way,
is good.
Way
this is
better
good.
Than
no,
mine.
Your accent's really good right now."
And I remember, and me and my friend Chris, shout out Chris McNevich. We always have this joke to this day. Watch out for the Spice Girls.
Oh, they were saying,
they're coming.
They
told us that. And
they're
like
coming.
6 months later, Wannabe
British
dropped.
Invasion, yep. baby.
Because yep. Wannabe, I was saying I could pick Wannabe as a choice. It maybe is a perfect song, but to me, it was always Say You'll Be There.
Yeah,
it was always
I agree.
What
was
about
always the
Two
joint.
Become One?
Two Become One's
One.
Also really good.
You
about
know, further
sex.
The Spice Girls sound
beautiful,
into like...
Beautiful tune.
I used to dance with girls at the junior high dance to "To Become One."
Yeah.
And did you
like,
become
little
one?
Did you, I mean, maybe did you did, know?
For
know
You, what? I Will by Monica and stuff, you know?
The Boy Is Mine.
Heard that today.
Did you become one or were you still 3 feet apart normal junior high dancers?
I was closer. I was closer, but we did not become one yet. Not until high school.
At least you went. I didn't go near those things.
Oh, yeah. I went.
Fun fact. Friend of the pod, multiple time guest, Greg Bergdorf, former guitarist of Zebrahead. They covered Spice Girls Wannabe back in the day.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. Full circle nerdery. Great song.
Also, I just watched the David Beckham documentary on Netflix, which is like almost like a TV style docu-series. And it kind of chronicles the ascent of the Spice Girls because he's married to a Spice Girl.
Posh Spice, yeah.
Yeah, and the kind of behind-the-scenes footage of that era is awesome.
I bet, yeah.
It's like it's a lot of paparazzi stuff, but like a lot of filming of the Spice Girls by their team kind of backstage being the Spice Girls is like kind of fascinating in that era because there's no phones, there's no, you know, they're just living as the Spice Girls. And then David Beckham walks in and they're like, "Oh, Bex," you know. But pretty fascinating.
We're going to do a whole episode with just... Robin's supposed to in their British accents.
All right, mate.
All right, Twan, give us your last one.
All right, this one is from, I would say, the early 2010s. It's a hip-hop song. It features, I think, the king of early 2010s rap. Oh, that's the artist. And the feature is my favorite R&B artist of the last 15 years.
Miguel. Usher. Miguel is your favorite R&B artist.
You got Miguel. And his Power Trip.
J. Cole,
Power
got
Trip.
Me
fucking
up
right,
all
baby.
Night.
Yeah.
I was getting there. I was getting there.
Untouchable. Fucking so I'm fucking on good. One. That's got everything.
Am I the only fossil in this
it's
room
okay,
that
I'll
doesn't know
for
that
you.
Song?
Yeah, I'll play it for you.
Yes, but I will say my context is I'm a bit of a J. Cole hater.
I know. Ooh. I've seen it.
A bit of a
I
J. Cole
this.
Hater, and I can't talk any shit about that song.
Because
he produced it.
Did he really?
He produced it. Miguel's hook is amazing.
Untouchable.
It finally allowed J. Cole to do the thing which he really needed to do and he kind of sold out to do on Workout for Me, which is make the big hit without sacrificing yourself and selling your soul and made a really great song. So shout out to, Power Trip, J. Cole.
I like
wow.
Born Sinner, right? The record?
It's not Born Sinner.
Yeah, I like Born Sinner a lot. Born I like 2014 Four Still Strive a little bit less. That's about my J. Cole world. I don't listen to the rest of it, but Born Sinner is, I love that record.
So the beat on Power Trip,
so good.
It sounds like you're going into battle.
Mm. For love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's about a girl. Yeah. It's like, remember back when we were living at, when I was living at my mama's crib.
Muhammad's crib.
Yeah.
$1,700 for the rent. That was money well spent.
I even wrote the song Dreams for you. It's like kind of cool because he's talking, it's clearly somebody he loves and that's like, passionate, whatever. But I'm not a big J. Cole fan. I think J. Cole, the reason maybe is because he's like a fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a kind of like me. It's like, I'm only doing this because I grew up listening to Kanye and Jay-Z.
He took some girl you were banging back in the day, didn't he?
He did.
Just say
no,
it.
No. It's a bit of maybe jealousy that it's like so big and I don't get why. Because it's not like he's production. Like that song almost production-wise was the only real leap and risk. Whereas, you know, when artists like a Outkast or a Kanye West is always taking these kind of production risks and pushing things into different territories. Even Drake, to a certain degree, will try new sounds, you know, and J. Cole is pretty much straight down the middle. So that's like, production wise, I don't get what's new about it, except that song, undeniable. Yeah. I'm with you.
And the Miguel hook helps it.
Miguel hook is
a
untouchable.
Big piece.
And the thing is they say like, you're only as good as your last at bat.
Yep.
J. Cole's kind of struck out a little bit.
It's been a little
last couple at bats.
Well, Drake gave him a number one hit there just this past couple months.
But that wasn't because of him.
But it was because of Drake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, that's
Drake.
Perfect. All
right, let's hear it.
This is one that I think we're going to do a full episode on down the line. It turns 25 this year.
Hang on, math.
Yep.
1993.
Well, it's coming out. 94. This is coming out.
It's so funny he said that because I just talked about this on the radio the other day. I talked about five or six songs and albums that were turning 25 in 2024.
Yeah.
So we're talking 1999.
Yes, we're talking 1999. This,
oh, wow, I was way off.
Faith, Limp Bizkit.
No, hip-hop.
The next episode.
Hip-hop.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, I mean, it's the Chronic
this,
2001.
No, launched this rapper's career.
So it's My Name Is.
Yes, it's My
I
Name
was
is.
Just going to say My Name Is.
Oh. It's Eminem's My
99,
Name Is.
99, though? Was it?
Yeah, it was 99.
January 99.
March
99.
Of 99.
Oh, I remember January. The moment.
Okay, so it was on my March promo only. That's how much of a nerd I am.
So,
yeah.
I mean, can you tell me about your first moment with this? Because it might have been my same first moment. Because the first time I ever heard this song.
MTV News.
Was number 10. On TRL.
Nope. Morning.
Okay. The morning show.
Whatever the morning show was on MTV. I was at my neighbor Caitlin's house because we used to ride into school together because we were freshmen in high school.
Ooh, Caitlin.
Or eighth grade. We were walking.
Shout out Caitlin.
Long story there.
Hey,
we're
Caitlin.
Not going into it.
How you doing, girl?
Hey, you want to watch MTV with me?
Exactly. We're walking there. We're walking
Carmine
to school
Daly's
together.
On. My name is.
You motherfuckers.
Hi, kids.
Shh. Serena Altschul's going to be on. Daisy Fuentes.
It was Daisy,
Kurt
yes.
Loder still on MTV.
Yes,
Gideon
Diego.
Gideon
Diego. Ian Robinson. Former Patio Slave guest.
Former guest.
Damn. All right, anyways.
So yeah, that video comes on, and we're just sitting there, like, getting ready to go to school. I'm fucking 14 years old, and I'm like, what is this? Like, this is going to change my life for the next couple of years, and it changed everybody's life.
It was almost
music.
Like the hip-hop of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
It really was, because it was like...
Great comparison.
Yeah, it was just like, what is this?
What is this?
I remember
to
the first time
where...
I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit was the same feeling that I had the first time I heard My Name Is.
What did you think as a hair metal guy the first time you heard Smells Like Teen Spirit? You're like, oh, everything I love is
it's
over?
Dead.
Or you're
it's
like,
dead.
I'm ready to change?
I'll be honest with you. I was going to make a joke, but like looking back on it now, I didn't know what to think because I was 14 years old.
Right.
I just knew, that I was confused.
Yeah.
I was confused. That's the best way I can look at it because it was on MTV. I was kind of faded out on MTV at this point. I was still kind of watching it or whatever, but I remember seeing Smells Like Teen Spirit and I was just like what the fuck is this?
Mm.
And I was intrigued. And it took me a few listens and whatever to like get into it and realize, but it was you make the joke that it killed hair metal, but it did. Mm.
Yeah.
It really did.
Instantly.
Yeah.
It's oh, this is cooler.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. That's the moment. You know, that's the moment. So My Name Is. I was also 14 years old, 13 years old. I don't remember. And for me, it was number 10 on TRL. And TRL used to do this thing in their later years, especially where they'd only play like part of the video.
Yep.
That's right.
And then they because they have to cram 10 videos into an hour or whatever. And TRL was it was like church. We'd get I get home from school
couldn't
at 3.
It. Couldn't
it's
miss
on at 3:30. I maybe got some votes in at MTV.com for Korn. And then I go and here I am.
Corner Limp Bizkit. Yeah.
And so
Blink-182.
Number 10. So I'm immediately there at 3:30. Number 10 is this thing I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm listening to it and I am like, what the fuck is this? And what do you do in that moment? I go and grab my battery powered boombox with a cassette deck.
Play record
the
baby.
TV sound into my cassette to record a cassette. Recording of the TV.
How do you think I made my mixtapes in the 80s, dude?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
So this
same
is
idea.
The moment. And so I only got the second verse because it was happening and I was like, bah! I was like scrambling across the room to grab it, put it in front of my TV in my room. to record it. And I couldn't wait to get to, we used to walk to school, and it was seventh or eighth grade. And I think it was seventh grade. And we used to walk to school. I'd meet my friends all at the Kennebunk Savings Bank in Wells. And me, Christy Hutzler, Zach B, and Matt Sampson would walk to school. And I had it on my walk, on like a Walkman I brought with me that day, because it was CD player era.
Talkboy?
Yeah, I had my Talkboy on my Yak Back. Yeah. And so I brought it, and I made every single one of them listen to this second verse of My Name Is with my headphones on the way to school. And I was like, wait, do you hear this? He goes, I can't figure out which Spice Girl I want to impregnate.
Exactly. Oh, in that era, you were like...
And MTV's playing.
Oh, I was like, I couldn't. And we had never even heard the unedited version.
There's an unedited version.
Because then the unedited version, the album drops, and we're... Because by the time the album dropped, Eminem's number one on TRL. This is a smash. And we didn't know what the album was going to be. And I remember listening to it in my room in the dark and turning it down gradually the whole way through this album, because yep. I was my mom cannot
she
hear
does not need
him
to know this
murdering
is
his baby's mother
right.
in the trunk while he sings to his daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And here I am getting Appetite for Destruction taken away from me.
Right.
When
right.
I was
right. Yeah, I almost picked an appetite. I almost picked a song from that album,
a reason that we're as fucked up as we are as a group of millennials.
I was wondering what it was, but now it makes sense.
I had this conversation this morning on Hot Radio Man with Tara and Ryan Dillon. Ryan Dillon's close to our age, and
close to your age.
Yeah, and Tara is maybe 29, 30, or maybe 28. I might be up-aging her, but her reference of Eminem was like, "Oh, it's safe and funny and." Like comedy rap.
Yeah, he pivoted.
Yeah. And so I was like, it felt dangerous.
It was not safe and funny in 1999.
No, it was.
Just listen
to
Guilty Conscience.
Controversial.
You know what the irony is?
And then he only went more scary. Yeah. Like, it only got scarier.
The beat is cartoonish on My Name Is. And that's
great,
it's like
comparison. Yeah.
That's a sample. We've talked about it on this podcast.
It's like razor blades, like in the kids section
Hot
at a toy
kids.
Store. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
That doesn't make sense.
Do you
sense.
Like violence? Do you want to see me
stick
nine-inch
nails through each one of my eyelids? I mean,
what?
Even just him saying nine-inch nails in a rap song was like, wait, how does this even... It just does not compute. It honestly was like it's a little bit like your experience with Smells Like Teen Spirit. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's like does not compute. I don't understand how this is real. How can this be? And that's why Eminem became, I think, the biggest selling artist of all time.
Yeah,
and I was
there.
Working at the music shop in North Conway when I was still living in my parents' basement in 1999. And when that album came out, obviously CD and cassette singles were a big deal. My Name Is was not a single, because a lot of times the record companies wanted you to buy the whole album. I scanned maybe 1,000 of those in little old North Conway.
Yep.
In my working at the music shop. Like everybody, you just see people walk in. I'm like, they're here for this Slim Shady LP.
It's for Eminem. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then the next few Eminem releases were a wait outside of Bull Moose Music event for me and my whole high school.
Absolutely.
Like the Eminem show, the third one, got released on a Sunday to get ahead, like as a because it was getting.
I remember going to Bull Moose to buy it.
I got a phone call on my mom's house phone. It's like, it's out. It's at Bull Moose right now. It's out. Like,
we gotta go
a week early, like 5 days early, or 2 days, 3 days early.
Who has a car?
So we drove. Yeah, my buddy's brother. We sat in my mom's living room. My mom was gone because you didn't want to listen to an Eminem album, even if my mom was cool.
Yeah,
and we sat in the living room and just listened to it front to back, and we were like. You know, it was a crazy record.
Yeah. Well, this launched it, and that's why it's perfect, because it launched this massive fucking supernova career.
Great call.
Good call.
Great call.
All right, rapid fire real quick.
And we'll give the thumbs up, yay or nay.
Man, I don't even want to do
because I want to
save it for another episode. But
you can bring it up then.
Semi-Charmed Life, Third Eye Blind.
Oh, fuck
perfect
yeah.
Perfect song. Back.
Yep.
Yes. In the meantime, Space Hog.
Yeah. Yeah. Good one. Yes.
I'd have to listen to it, but.
You know it.
Yeah.
You know it.
Boom, 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 no, 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 no,
no. Boom, boom. Oh, yeah.
Great song.
Top one bass lines of all time, too.
Next episode, Dre, Snoop, Corrupt.
Perfect.
Nate Dogg.
Perfect. Yeah.
2 minutes, 41 seconds. No fluff. All fucking heated.
Yeah.
All time beat.
When they open the Super Bowl halftime show with that, so good.
So the consensus, yay. We're three for three?
Yeah, three for three. I had had a Dre song.
We're gonna do a third Dre song tonight.
Dre's taking over the
wow.
And Coldplay.
Coldplay.
Cold shit.
Audio Slave Cold Dre episode.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
A Rush of Blood to the LBC.
You brought up California Love. That would be one that I would pick. California
Confirm.
Love.
That's a yay.
Yeah, that's a perfect
pass.
One.
Yeah. No, it passed. I mean, it passed.
Oh,
I'm not passing.
Passes.
It passed. Okay. It passes as a perfect song.
Rob
for sure.
Also passes. No, you got another one? Or you good?
No, I'm no. That's it. That's it.
I right, think this was the best perfect songs episode we've
yes.
done.
Really?
Agreed. Well, we covered a lot of grounds, and there were also every one of them. I can't, except for the J. Cole song. I didn't know it. They're all perfect songs.
It'll make it onto one of your playlists here.
So there was another Miguel song Hull. That you did for a perfect song that I was supposed to listen to, and I never did.
No, that sounds about right. Nate,
As Friends
I
Rust.
Mean,
oh, no, it was 10. A Gaslight Anthem song.
The Gaslight
Anthem.
Get
Hurt. Yeah.
I still haven't listened
to
it.
Get
love
your fucking
you.
Shit.
It's a good
sorry.
Song. It's a good song.
I haven't done it.
What do you got to post? Give us one more.
Iron Boots.
So,
ooh, yeah.
We did that on the lyrics episode, and I almost picked it for this because it is a perfect song.
It's on. I think it's my favorite Rustic
touchable.
Song.
It's by, yeah, I almost picked Feast or Famine, but we've done that on an album openers episode mm-hmm. 2. And I almost picked Sugarcoat. I almost picked History Crush. That record front to back is so good. Ooh. If you don't know Rustic Overtones, you should. If you don't know Dave Gutter, you should.
He's yeah, I mean, I said this also on the radio today. Dave Gutter, because I played my Christmas show a couple weeks before we recorded, a couple weeks before this podcast yeah. comes out. And, Dave is in my backing band, which is a big like flex of my life.
It's
basically.
Amazing. It's amazing.
But my friend Ryan DeLon at the radio station was like, it was so was raving about the show and the production value. He goes, but one of my big, he's like, my third biggest takeaway is Dave Gutter. He's like, what? He's like, he'd never seen him before. He didn't know because he's from the hip hop world and maybe there's no
content. And DeLon's only been here for about, 10 years? Since
10, yeah, maybe
yeah.
10, 12
yeah,
years.
Yeah. So he
and
wasn't around for the
rustic.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand the maybe context.
Post
and he
rustic
was,
Portland.
He was so shocked. He goes, I don't know. He's like, maybe this is just a me thing, but I feel like I'm at like a local show and I'm not expecting this kind of
sure.
level
yeah.
of talent in a way. Like maybe, which is, he's like, I don't want to piss you off, but like that's maybe like the expectation. And he goes, watching him, not only just his like presence on stage, but his vocals, but his guitar playing was the best I've maybe ever seen in my life. And I was like, he's a top 10 guitarist on earth. Like,
yeah, he's so
give
good.
Me anybody.
Your show this summer at Vinegar Hill in Arundel.
Yeah.
Standing there with my wife, Jess, she's like, Dave's really good at guitar. And I was like, yeah,
where
you're
you
right. Like, I knew this because I've been going to shows
right.
for 20 years, but you're right. He's fucking good at it. And
you know, I mean, this is a little bit more right up my alley, but like I was at a show years ago and somebody goes, wow, he's really good at guitar. About, I didn't know he was so good at guitar, about Billy Corgan.
Yeah, right?
Oh wow.
And I was like, yep. Yeah, I think people don't think of him as an all-time shredder, but like he can
he
really
is.
play. But Dave, you know, Rustic Overtones, Iron Boots, obviously, I mean, a great song. Well,
perfect.
not he's not like a Steve Vai shredder. He's one of the best songwriters, singer-songwriters ever, who also, he's like Prince in a way. It's like, I can write the song, sing the song, make it accessible and poppy, perform it on stage. Oh, and I'm also an amazing guitarist, yeah. You know, is Dave Gutter. So
yeah, Iron Boots. That's a good mic drop right there. If you've listened to the end of this episode, we appreciate it. Spose just dropped his mic. We're done. But hey, go check. Rob just dropped his mic. You could hear, you hear that.
Mic.
I'm going to drop
See
mine
you.
In a second. But yeah, peace pod heads. Cool as an Iron Boots.
Thank you for listening to Podioslave. We are at Podioslave on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of the places that you can find us on social media. Facebook, Podioslave Podcast. YouTube, Podioslave Podcast there. Email us at podioslavepodcast@gmail.com. And hey, if you want to become a supporter, click on the link at the bottom of the episode and give us $1, give us $5. It keeps the lights on, keeps us going. We really appreciate that stuff. Thank you.